All right, so I'm excited to do this one. I think this has the potential to be the best one of the series, possibly. I know. My wife, she was asking me what it's about. I wouldn't tell her. So, all right, so last week we had our first participation with Itsy Bitsy Spider. And the, what do they call it, finger play that we did? Yeah. Was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Oh, it was 2 weeks ago. Last week was the Emperor's New Clothes. Okay, 2 weeks ago, Itsy Bitsy Spider, right? Okay, so we're gonna do another one that requires some participation. So everybody stand up if you can. We're going to do the Hokey Pokey. Oh. Yes! Here we go. All right. You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out, you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. I don't know how the clapping goes. You put your left foot in, you put your left foot out, you put your left foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. All right, you put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Left hand in, you put your left hand out, you put your left hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Your head, you put your head in, put your head out, put your head in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Last one, you put your whole self in, put your whole self out, put your whole self in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. You guys are good sports. Well, so the best part is that's not even what the lesson's about. I just wanted everybody to do the hokey pokey. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's actually what the lesson's about. But, you know, Psalms 100 tells us to come before God with joyful songs. So what is more joyful than the hokey pokey, right? All right. So, a little bit about the hokey pokey, also known as hokey cokey in the United Kingdom and the Caribbean, is a campfire song and participation dance with a distinctive accompanying tune and lyric structure. It is well known in English-speaking countries. It originates in a British folk dance with variants attested as early as 1826. The song and dance peaked in popularity as a music hall song and novelty dance in the mid-40s in the UK. It was a chart hit twice in the 80s. It peaked at number 18 in the UK in 1981. All right, so, man, I'm tired. Good Lord, that's a workout. All right. Yeah, I know, right? There are numerous variants of the song that exist with similar dances and lyrics dating back to the 19th century. One of the earlier variants with a very similar dance is found in Robert Chambers' Popular Rhymes of Scotland from 1842. These are the words. I don't know how the melody goes, so I'm just going to say the words. I don't know how it goes. Fal-de-ra-la, fal-de-ra-la. Hinkum booby roundabout, right hands in and left hands out, hinkum booby roundabout, fal de rala, fal de rala. I don't know how it goes. I don't know how anyway. So then there's a whole bunch of other ones, but I thought that one was, since that was the original, I thought I would share about that. So anyways, that's all I'm going to share. There's a whole bunch of other stuff about it. So as we go through the hokey pokey, we could see this picture being painted potentially of testing the waters, so to speak. So we put one foot in, we check things out, then we pull it back, then we shake it off. Put in the other foot, followed by one hand and then another, each time shaking it off. We put our whole self in, but we still come back out. We shake it off. I feel like there's a Taylor Swift reference in there somewhere. In Matthew 22, it says an expert of the law tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with some of your heart, some of your soul, and some of your mind. Does that sound right?
Nope.
No. He actually says all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And then he calls this the first and greatest commandment. Now, we know that it is impossible for us to achieve that level. It's impossible for us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We're human, and we all fall short. But that's the standard that God has called us to. But many times when we feel God calling us to do something, to commit, we take the hokey-pokey approach to it. We try to feel it out. Let's just dip our toes in the water first before we commit. Many people have a commitment to God, but they are not fully committed to God. So we see an example of this in the parable of the talents. So while this parable can be used to teach us about sowing and reaping and stewardship, it also shows the advantages of being committed to God and honoring his commands and the disadvantages of allowing fear to keep us from fully committing. Two of the servants were fully committed to what the master said. They immediately went to put their master's gifts to work. But the third servant wasn't committed to following his master's instructions, and his punishment was to be cast out. Now, I'm not saying that not immediately committing fully to everything God calls you to do will cause you to be separated from him. Again, we all fall short. But I am saying Scripture is pretty clear how important it is to follow God's commands in our lives. So why does God want us fully committed to him? First, so the world can see how important he is to us. Our commitment to him is our witness to the world. It shows others how important he is in our lives. The more commitment we show, the more important he is to us. If you love something, you commit your time to it, right? If your job is important to you, you commit yourself. If your family is important, you commit yourself to it. If any person is important to you, you commit to spend time with them. If your health is important to you, you commit yourself to working out. Obviously, it's not important to me. Whatever is important to you, you will commit yourself to it. We may say something is important, but if we do not commit time and effort to it, it obviously is not important. If it's valuable to you, you will make the effort to commit whatever resources you need to show appreciation to it. If serving God is important to us, then we must commit to serving him. What we commit and how much we commit shows how much we value our relationship with him, how much we love him. Even something as simple as coming to church shows others how important God is to us. It's an outward expression of love by setting aside and giving God what we all value most, which is our time. The second reason God wants us to be committed to him is so that he can strengthen us to become what he has created us to be. So today, our lives are the sum of our previous commitments. Whatever we are today is what we spent our time on becoming yesterday. A doctor today committed to studying medicine yesterday. Hopefully not just yesterday, right? A lawyer today committed to studying law yesterday. Whatever we want to be successful in tomorrow, we have to commit time to today. If we never commit to anything, then we will never be anything. In 2 Corinthians, it says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is committed to strengthen those who are fully committed to him. If we honor him, he will honor us. If we sow into him, he will allow us to reap from him. Satan knows this and does not want us to make any type of commitment to serving or honoring God. To be fully committed, Jesus has to be first. He expects to be first place in our lives. We have to love him more than anybody or anyone else to be his followers. More than our car, more than our job, more than our money, more than our parents, more than our spouses, more than our kids, more than our own life. We can have nothing else in front of him. So how is it that he has a right to ask us for that kind of commitment? Well, first, because he made us. Then because he loves us. He has a plan for us that he will help us accomplish. And he died for us so that we could live for him. He will strengthen us all and give us life abundantly. But we must be fully committed and make him first in our lives. God doesn't want a part-time relationship with us. He wants us to fully know him and be in a full-time, fully committed relationship. So what does that look like? Well, some things you can do. First of all, you could start your day talking to God. It reminds you of who is in charge of your day and helps you keep things in perspective. It starts the day off right, and it gives God your first thoughts of each day. Commit to giving God the first day of the week. Commit that time to learning and growing closer to him. Honor him by showing love to and serving each other, lifting up those who are in church with you. Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Which, by the way, I didn't put it in here, but the first command was love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second was love your neighbor as yourself, right? The third way is give God the first of every paycheck, not what's left over. Why? Because God wants to be first. That's why there are more promises about tithing than anything else in the Bible. If you want to see what is most important to a person, just look at what they do with their money. It doesn't matter what we say is important. The way we spend our money and our time shows us exactly what is important to us. Seek Jesus first in every decision. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So if we go to God before we make decisions, he has the opportunity to lead us in the right direction. And by following that direction, we can eliminate many of the problems and challenges that we face in life from following our own understanding. He will make our path straight. The definition of a successful life is one where we put God first in all things. Man, I got through this quick. So this is my closing line, right? So go ahead and jump into a committed relationship with God with your whole body. Do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around, because that's really what it's all about, right? So that was all I had for today. Sorry, I went through that faster than I thought I would, but does anybody have anything, any thoughts, talking points you would like to share, Pastor?
I'd like for you to address the fact of the progressive growth, and that you may not be a good prayer and you may not feel like you're established as you should be, but how that growth comes about.
Well, yeah, of course. So anything that you decide to do that you haven't done before, or you haven't really done consistently or put effort into, it's going to take time to become proficient and efficient at it, right? So, and when we talk about praying, so I think there's this, sometimes in our heads, there's this idea that, man, if I'm going to pray, man, I got to have like an hour, I've got to have 45 minutes, you know, so if I wake up late, I don't really have time to pray to God before I start my day. But it doesn't have to be that way, right? So in other words, the principle, the idea is you wake up, you start your day, and the first thing that you're focused on is talking to God. Even if it's something as simple as, you know, hey God, good morning, thank you for another day. Amen. Love you, be with me today, right? Like, it doesn't have to be. Now, just like with any relationship, okay, the closer you get, the more time that you spend in prayer, you'll start, those prayers will naturally and organically become longer and more involved as your communication deepens. Does that make sense? And so you don't have to feel like, man, if I'm going to start doing this, I've got to get up an hour early. I've got to figure out what I'm going to pray about. I've got to sit down and write down a script of what I'm going to say. You don't have to do all of that. God just wants you to set aside some time, put Him first, and then just let the Spirit lead you in what to pray. And you may not feel anything super, profound or anything like that in the moment, and that's okay. It's not always going to be like that. But you just start that conversation. And it's the same with all these things. It's the same with tithing. It's the same with going to church, right? So talking about giving time to God, just go to church. Set aside a few hours a week, right? Like, it's not a whole lot. There's 168 hours in a week. You can give two or three to go to church, right? Okay. And so again, it's just getting started and kind of moving in that direction. So Brandon.
Well, it's just like getting up in the morning and talking with your spouse. You don't write a script, and the closer y'all get together, I mean, the more natural it becomes. It's just like having a relationship with your spouse. You talk to your spouse, you have a relationship with God, you just talk with God. It doesn't have to be, I mean, it could be, you know, just, hey, good morning, God, thank you, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, I wake up sometimes and, hey, good morning, honey, you know. It's not like a long, drawn-out conversation all the time. So that's all I wanted to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, my wife is not ready in the morning for a long, drawn-out conversation. So good morning is about as much as I can safely communicate. So, well, Liz, and then
I was going to say, too, that off of what Brandon said, but it is like developing a relationship. Oh, I know. And you don't just, like, it's not like a start and a stop.
Right.
You continue the conversation all through the day. And, I mean, you don't have to every time start out, dear Lord, I appreciate everything you did for me, before you go into deeper conversation. I might just, I start talking to him, and I know people probably think I'm crazy because I just talk to the Lord sometimes out loud.
That's not why we think you're crazy.
Both of y'all said that, so I'm a little concerned. but that's the praying without ceasing.
Right.
You don't start and stop, and you get that feeling. Sometime old school praying was like for an hour, and they had a wheel, and you did it a certain way, and you didn't ask God for a favor before you told Him how wonderful He was. And that's all good, but it indicates to me that there's a beginning and an end,
right,
to that prayer. And that's not the way the Lord wants it, I don't think. I think He wants us talking to Him all day long.
Well, I think there's a line between, so you want to, you there's a line between intentionality and legalism, right? So it's not you don't want to make it a box to check off. You don't want it to be like, hey, okay, I'm going to do 30 minutes and I'm going to fill this slot and I'm going to do it and then my prayer is going to be done for the day. Like, that's not what it is, right? However, on the other hand, if it's something that you're not currently doing and it's something that you want to get in the habit of doing, you will probably need to start by scheduling a block of time, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, to establish that routine, to establish that habit, right? So we see that in relationships about being intentional, like in your marriage, right? So you might look up one day and go, man, it's been 3 weeks since we went on a date. And you're like, well, I guess we should go on a date. And you put it in the calendar. And then your wife comes to you and she's like, hey, why is there a date in the calendar? Like, well, that's what we want. Well, I don't want you to feel like you have to schedule it and it's just something you're checking off in your schedule. We should just do it. Like, well, but if you don't schedule it and you're not in the habit of doing it, then it's not going to happen, right? It's not a negative. It's the same. Look, I'll flip it around. I mean, we're all adults in here. So sex, right? So it, especially as a guy, you want your wife to want to do that with you. But sometimes it's not just something that's going to happen spontaneously. It has to be scheduled sometimes. And it's about being intentional. It's not about adding it to a chore list. It's not about checking a box. It's just being intentional about it. And it's the same thing in your relationship with God and spending time with God.
I want to just talk about the growth part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see a child, like my grandchildren, I don't see them for a while. And I'm not, if I saw them every day, I would never recognize the growth.
Right.
But after I've been away and see them, oh man, you have grown. And so it's the same way with our spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back like 6 months to a year, you can see that you've grown. But if you get discouraged and say, well, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not growing, you don't see that growth
right.
every day. So that's just what I wanted to point out.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, as you grow daily, like you said, you may not notice it, right? But yes, if you look up one day and you go, man, so, and again, that's part of, like, if you're scheduling and things like that, you can go back and go, look, man, I just started doing this 3 weeks ago or a month ago or 2 months ago, and I didn't even know what I was doing or how to get started, but then now it's just a natural, normal part of my routine that I'm more comfortable and proficient in, right? Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is if you miss, again, there's a fine line between being legalistic and being intentional. If you miss a day or you miss a time or whatever, it's you're not going to hell. Like it's not the end of your relationship with God, right? So just, okay, it happens, and you just move on, you know, and you continue to make that effort, right?
One of the things that I run across quite a bit being a pastor and talking with people, new people, there is a lie, I believe, perpetuated by the devil, and that's this supposed Christian spot that you make. In other words, I've got to attain this before I can be effective as a Christian.
Right.
I can't really pray until I'm this Christian. I can't work for the Lord until I'm this Christian. I can't really witness until I'm this. And it'll never get there. You'll never get there unless you start that intimacy. And that is so important. Just like, I mean, how many of us have had children going through something, and we just would give anything if they would just talk to us.
Yeah.
Will you just...
Or listen after they talk to you.
Or listen, yeah.
That would be good.
Just share with me what's going on, and yet you're met with silence. It's very frustrating. You realize you can't make them talk. How many times I believe, and of course we know the Lord, long-suffering and patient and all that, how many times the Lord just saying, come on, just talk to me. Just tell me, just share with me,
yeah,
because I am willing to listen to you and to help you to work the situation out. So,
right.
And it's not something we take. It's something you just put your foot in there and hokey pokey, man.
And that's it, right?
That's right.
You just commit. Well, you don't put your foot in. You put your whole body in, right? You just commit. And then, you know, you're doing a hokey pokey and, you know, whatever happens. So does anybody else have anything they want to say, or thoughts, comments? No? All right. Well, we finished a couple minutes early, so.